Georgia, Georgia, the whole day through. Just an old sweet song keeps Georgia on my mind. Georgia, Georgia, a song of you comes as sweet and clear as moonlight through the pines. Other arms reach out for me, other eyes smile tenderly, still in peaceful dreams I see the road leads back to you. I said, Georgia, Georgia, no peace I find, and just an old sweet song keeps Georgia on my mind.
Georgia, my Georgia, oh, the whole day through, sports sweet song keeps Georgia on my mind, my mind. Georgia, oh, my Georgia, song of you comes as sweet and clear as moonlight through the pines. Other arms reach out to me, other eyes smile tenderly, still in peaceful dreams I see, I know the road leads back to you. Yeah,
Georgia,
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 Georgia. Thank you,
yes.
Thank you, Georgia.
Yes.
This is Thank Kimball.
Yeah.
Amanda, the show. We've got Amanda in the UK. How you doing, Amanda? Good morning to you. It is Thursday morning there. I keep forgetting that.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah. Doing good and surprised by today's current events, but yeah.
Yeah, we have a lot to how you doing, Cornell?
Hey, how you doing, Andy and Amanda?
All right, thanks. It's been a very busy day today on the news, following it. We have breaking news happening right now as we're doing the show. We're going to start diving right into it in our 90-minute presentation today. We have so much to go over. We're also going to be staying to our show format to introduce some music. We're going to be actually showing an advance of Stephen DeJoseph's indie song picks, singer-songwriters picked by the very talented and I guess our new guest on the show, Stephen DeJoseph, who's producing this indie series that we talked about earlier. We're going to give you a preview of what that's about on today's show. So we're going to play some other music, but we do have an awful lot of news to talk about between Georgia, what happened in Washington, D.C. today. It's just, boy, we have 90 minutes, and we probably take a three-hour show and still not be able to get it all in today, but we're going to do our darndest.
Andy, because it's still going on.
It's still going on. We're following. And what I have is breaking here now, currently coming off the wire here at our Coast to Coast studios, is that the First Lady, Chief of Staff, and former White House Press Secretary resigned today over violent protests. And that would be Stephanie Grisham, who's the former White House Communications Director and the Press Secretary and current Chief of Staff for former First Lady. She's not former yet. She will be. How do you say that? The outgoing. How do you say that?
Outgoing.
I just told, but okay. Outgoing. She's not former yet. I guess wishful thinking. Melania Trump submitted her recognition. That is Stephanie Grisham. Wednesday afternoon, and that's effective right now in the wake of the violent protests. Grisham was one of the longest-serving Trump administration officials, having begun her tenure working for the candidate Donald Trump back in 2015, 16, right in there. And she was a kind of like a press wrangler back then on the campaign trail. She entered the White House as deputy press secretary under Sean Spicer. We all remember him, who followed Trump's word that the that his acceptance inauguration was the largest crowd in history, but was one of the smallest, actually. And everybody had a lot of fun with that. And Saturday Night Live segment, you'll never forget it. But anyway, so she came into the White House with Sean Spicer. And then in March 2017, Donald Trump hired her for her East Wing staff. So she resigned. There's so much to talk about regarding what happened in Washington today. So I figure what we'll do before we address what happened in Washington today was talk about what we were originally going to do on our show before we knew any of this was going to happen, and talk about what happened in Georgia last night, and which was kind of exciting.
Yes.
So we know that, I was in my somewhere, I guess you'd call it gut, in my mind, in my whatever, just an overall feeling. I had a premonition the Democrats are going to win in Georgia. I just had a feeling, you know, although in the real world, I kind of felt that no way, it's the South, it's Georgia. But I knew two things. A, the ground, the grassroots ground efforts, and that's how candidates become elected. You know, it's that grassroots, you know, go out and make it happen person to person, you know, old-fashioned campaigning. You know, and that's,
yeah.
I don't care how much somebody spends on TV. If you don't have the grassroots ground, you know, put your boots on and go make it happen network, you ain't going nowhere.
Yeah.
I don't care what you spend on TV or radio. And they had, thanks to Stacey Abrams, had just an incredible ground operation in Georgia. And I guess approximate budget of $180 million to support that ground effort didn't hurt by any means. But we thank you to Stacey Abrams and all the people, all the volunteers, all the staff, everybody who contributed down in Georgia to make this incredible dream come true. My gosh, there aren't enough thank yous to go around. That was incredible. And so we know that, I guess what, you know, John Ossoff was the kind of was the question that was real close, you know. Purdue. I kept referring to Purdue as Frank Purdue, and that you guys reminded me that's the chicken guy.
Yeah, that is. Yeah. You know what, Andy? Didn't he look like a chicken?
that was the chicken guy, Frank Purdue. But anyway, John Ossoff, and Purdue was like a political icon in Georgia for a while. Pretty well respected guy, actually, and John Ossoff called him on his shit, for lack of a better word, in some of his financial maneuverings in the stock market and so on, and actually had him for lunch during the debate, to the point where in the second debate, Purdue didn't even show up. John Ossoff did, so Purdue had an empty podium, so the debate was John Ossoff. With John Ossoff. Wonderful debate. One-man debate. It was great because he held his right hand up as one half of him and his left hand up on the other, and he just kind of had the two hands battle it out. It was wonderful to see. Wonderful to see. But anyway, I think this, I'm telling you, this is what really happened. No, it really happened like this. No, I think this. But anyway, but that was
the show. Yeah.
The one man. You get the visual, you know what I'm saying here? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But anyway, that was projected today, you know, last night. I didn't go to bed really last night. I guess I probably passed out on the couch probably around 4 or 5 in the morning or something. But I tried to stay up because I thought maybe they were going to project Ossoff as the winner, as they did Reverend Raphael Warnock earlier in the evening. But the Ossoff-Purdue race was a little tighter, too close to call, of course. We would have called it on the Andy and Amanda show. I probably would have called it before the polls closed. Just as we did in April, we called the presidential election almost to the numbers. Actually, I think we were 304 electoral votes for Biden at 306, somewhere around there. But anyway, we called this presidential election in April. So we're not doing too bad so far, guys. We're really not.
Yeah, but hey, Andy, we didn't predict today. I don't think nobody did.
Hell no, we certainly didn't.
It couldn't have been. No, I felt that it was going to happen. I kind of had a vision that it was going to happen, but my vision was far grander numbers than they actually were. I thought it was going to be a total. I thought that Trump's maneuvering and conspiracy theory promotion was going to really keep the Republicans voters more at home than he did. You know, people are just kind of getting fed up with his crap and his lies and his you know, baseless alternative reality that is in his world is his truth, which we've talked about so many times on the show. Amanda, I'd love to have, first of all, I want to apologize, Amanda, on behalf of the United States, for our behavior today.
Oh, your behavior. Well, it doesn't affect me directly, I guess. I mean, I in a sense it does. I mean, to say that is a bit unfair, I guess, because it's affecting everybody. But I mean, the fact that you're like stepping up and apologizing to me and I guess everybody else listening, that's a sweet thing to do, Andy, but it doesn't rest all on your shoulders, darling. It really doesn't.
Me and Andy was talking earlier. We still can't believe what happened when they broke into the Capitol. I that's history. I don't get it. I still, my brain is like, really?
Yeah. Yeah. There's some big opinions from Boris Johnson and politicians here who have said that they've expressed how disgusted and concerned for the example that the US is presenting. That Boris Johnson has said that the US stands for democracy around the world and that it was vital that there should be a peaceful and orderly transfer of power. And our Home Secretary, Priti Patel, commented saying the scenes are unacceptable and undemocratic, and there is no justification for this violence, and Donald Trump must condemn it. And then Labour's deputy leader, Angela Rayner, has said the violence that Donald Trump has unleashed is terrifying, and the Republicans who stood by him have blood on their hands. So, you know, there's a lot of concern from everyone here, as well as I should imagine other countries, as to what's happening there. And I feel for you all, truly, truly do.
It was just utter shock. Utter shock. And these, you know, I don't even think, you know, the folks that did this, I believe this to be true, were just out to create some trouble. They're anarchists, they're troublemakers, they're Trumpies and Trumpers for sure. But I think there's more to it than just being supporting an outgoing president and believing that the election was stolen. It just seems to me that there was more to it than that. And of course, we heard that, you know, they broke in. You know, God, there's so much. Where do we begin with all this? They broke in freely into the Capitol building, and it was brought to my attention today. And we start thinking about Black Lives Matter had a protest, and they came anywhere near the Capitol. You think they would have gotten in? Think they wouldn't even come close to getting in?
Yeah.
And these folks just walk right up the steps, put the police aside, and walk right into the Capitol like they owned it, taking videos, taking pictures, started knocking down walls, started breaking in glass. You know, they had to vacate the Congress and the Senate and the media to protect the quarters around the Capitol area, the Capitol building. And upon breaking in, a crowd of people tried to break in, and one of the police or Secret Service shot. I don't know how it happened. The details aren't there, so I'm not going to go ahead and leave that.
Yeah. Didn't a lady get shot, too?
She got shot in the neck, rushed into an ambulance, and we just found out recently that she has died.
Mm-mm.
So, yeah. And I guess this is one of the protesters.
Crazy. Absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, really.
So, not to say that. This is, you know, we live in America, and I know you live in UK, Amanda, and nothing against, you know, it's like, Andy, I would never really think this would happen in our country.
Yeah, I get you, Connor. I mean, if it happened here, I think everybody would be shocked and terrified, because it's not something any of us here would ever foresee happening here. But then we haven't had someone like Trump causing, and maybe that's accusation, but, you know, he's the pot with a lot of things, and, you know, people are supporting his actions and his words. So he's responsible for everything he's spoken and shared and his actions. So that holds him accountable for a big part of this situation, if not all of it. And so if we had somebody like that here causing the same kind of damage, then, yeah, well, I guess we would expect something on the horizon happening. But still, it would still be a shock, right? I mean, come on.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. And the, you know, they finally, you know, there's the Capitol, they called in for reinforcements. You know, police were... We're summoning late, you know, late in the chapter. We'll take a caller here on the Andy and Amanda show and join the conversation. As many of you know, our 754 listeners and followers around the world, our number is 1, if you're calling internationally, 515-605-9888. You want to go with the caller or up, and the speaker is going to go right through the button here, and we find the right one. Here we go. Hey,
hello.
Hello, you're on the air.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi there.
Hey, is this Bruce?
It is Bruce. How are you, Andy?
Whoa, doing all right, man. Thanks for coming on board the show.
Hey, Bruce.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Hey, how you doing?
I wish it was, you know, a more exciting day to come on board and have, you know, there's nothing really to talk about, right?
Yeah, right.
Same old.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
I know.
Can I say that?
Yeah. You can say anything. This is internet.
You can say what the hell.
We probably
holy fucking shit, what a day.
Yes.
You know what's interesting? I don't know. I mean, I'm coming in late. I don't know if you've probably already been talking about this, and you probably want to talk about sports or the weather by this point, but I think it's amazing that our democracy has held, right? We've had challenges in the last couple of days that just, you know, who would have expected, but our democracy seems to be holding against all that, and that's something to actually be proud and happy about.
Definitely.
Yeah. I guess we're proud and happy, but the dismay and utter shock at what occurred today at the encouragement of the President of the United States, who's supposed to stand up and be proud and protect this republic and this democracy, is so overwhelming that you're right. And what you said is definitely important to be noted.
I'm one of those glass half full people, I guess, Andy. You know,
yes,
there's
yes.
enough glass half empty or totally empty people out there, and you can hear them opining on all other media. But I guess I'm focused on the positive element of this. And yes, we have a president who basically incited a violent riot today, and the vandalism of one of the you know most important buildings. In our nation's history, right, and in our government. But he wasn't able to thwart the election outcome, which right now the count is taking place, and that will be ratified tonight. And he's got an expiration date. He's got a sell-by date, after which he can still incite, but he won't have the power to do very much. He will be in the rearview mirror of history and, I believe, shunned and ignored. Even Twitter today shut down his account, which was a ballsy move, you know, 4 years in the making. They should have done it 4 years ago or 3 years ago or 2 years ago or last Tuesday.
They should have done it 10 years ago.
I deleted my Twitter account in 2016 after he was allowed to lie and spread fear and hate and racism and other things without being challenged by Twitter. So I haven't had a Twitter account, but I'm gratified that today they finally found a pair of testicles in that organization and did the right thing. You know, it's too little too late, but even Twitter is now can be said to be more courageous and patriotic than the Republican Party. So there's that. They didn't win me back because they'll probably allow him back, you know, to open his account again in 24 hours and he'll go on lying and misleading and inciting on that platform as he does everywhere else.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's really interesting that we have managed to withstand all his attempts to bring down our democracy. And we should never have been that challenged, but having been that challenged and survived it, I think that's something to feel good about, even as we might want him drawn and quartered or impeached again, or you know the 25th Amendment activated, or a lot of things that probably won't happen as the clock runs out, right?
Yes,
absolutely. We're getting it.
Who else is on your show other than you, Andy? I'm hearing other voices.
Do you? Who is he drinking? we have Amanda Love, who's in the UK. We are the only show actually in the world that actually joins the United Kingdom and the United States live for a talk show. Informative, fun music, entertainment talk show. We're in 15 countries around the world right now, and growing, and it's pretty cool. Right now, you're talking to an audience, Bruce, of around the world, from Brazil to South Africa and Australia, and even Russia and China. And I have to look at the map. I forget all these different countries, but we're heard, and we have followers all over, which is kind of cool. We started
Mexico.
This Mexico, yeah. And
very blessed.
And Australia.
Very blessed.
That's very cool. If I'd known, I would have dressed better for this.
Oh, no.
Darling, we always say, come as you are. Come as you are.
Yeah, you bet.
And I always well, that's hi, Amanda, and hi.
Hi, sweetheart.
It's very cool what you guys are doing. And
Thank you.
And that you're attracting a global audience is very cool as well. So,
thank you.
Amanda and I have never met. She's my internet girlfriend.
Yes.
Interesting. And Amanda, how do you feel about that designation?
I'll talk about it on the next show.
There's the cliffhanger that'll have us all tuning in. Excellent. Must listen radio.
I go along with it, Bruce. I go along with it, if I'm honest. You know, it's a lot of fun, and we have a good banter between us and a good laugh. But I think our listeners enjoy the internet relationship that Andy and I have.
Bruce, you need to know that Amanda, you know, has encouraged one thing in my life since we've met here on their show. We've actually met on their show. And this is probably the best advice she's ever given me right here.
It's going to have good sex for the rest of her life.
Yes. through the internet.
You met on the internet. That, you know, that might be, that could be the next
love.
Thing.
Yes.
Yes.
Computer love.
You could. I met my wife on the internet, for that matter.
That's right.
So there's that.
That's right. You know, it's funny because Amanda and I did a popular request. I guess we requested ourselves, but that's popular enough. By popular request, Amanda and I are going to start giving a relationship advice, you know,
yes.
You know, for people who have, you know, want to discuss intimacy or dating or, you know, meeting guy meets girl. And we're going to start that segment on our show soon because we're both such renowned experts in the matter.
We say,
oh my.
People ask us, you know, we ask us all sorts of
don't
questions.
Don't ask me, ask China that question.
We have so much fun. Yeah. I love it.
But the one thing I always like to say is the one thing I always want to say.
It will be a woman.
You like that?
Yes.
Yeah. Hey, you know, Bruce, I want to have you stay on, if you don't mind. Unless you need to go, I want to have you, because what we're going to do now is play, some of you might know that Trump did encourage the mass riot, the chaotic event that happened in Washington today. He encouraged it with the speech that he gave prior to the march on the Capitol, and he encouraged everybody to walk through the Capitol, and he said he will be joining them. Of course, he didn't. But we have a segment of that speech that we put together, followed by a little music. And Bruce, hang in here and take a listen. And if you have the time, we'll join right after.
Okay.
And I was told by the real pollsters, we do have real pollsters, they know that we were going to do well and we were going to win. But I was told if I went from 63 million, which we had 4 years ago, to 66 million, there was no chance of losing. Well, we didn't go to 66. We went to 75 million. And they say we lost. We didn't lose.
You got to pick a fight or two.
And by the way, does anybody believe that Joe had 80 million votes? Does anybody believe that?
Democrat Joe Biden has defeated Donald Trump to, of course, become the 46th president of the United States. He's gotten more votes than any other U.S. president. Expectations are higher, Rafael.
More votes than any other U.S. president, and actually more votes than Donald Trump. More votes in the Electoral College than Donald Trump back in 2016. In 2016, Donald Trump won with 304 votes. It's going to be probably 306 by the end of this election.
He had 80 million computer votes.
I cannot accept that course of action.
It's a disgrace. There's never been anything like that. You could take third world countries. Just take a look. Take third world countries. their elections are more honest than what we've been going through in this country.
According to the United Nations, it no longer judges a country by a particular stage that it is at in its development.
It's a disgrace.
Sick, stupid, ridiculous, obnoxious, vulgar, disgusting, whatever the case may be.
It's a disgrace. Even when you look at last night, they're all running around like chickens with their heads cut off. Nobody knows what the hell is going on. There's never been anything like this. We will not let them silence your voices. We're not going to let it happen.
Of silence.
And Rudy, you did a great job. He's got guts. You know what? He's got guts, unlike a lot of people in the Republican Party. He's got guts. He fights.
I am the greatest.
He fights, and I'll tell you, thanks. And I hope Mike is going to do the right thing. I hope so. I hope so. Because if Mike Pence does the right thing, we win the election. All he has to do...
You got to pick a pocket or two.
This is from the number one, or certainly one of the top, constitutional lawyers in our country. He has the absolute right to do it.
Having sex about 3 to 4 times a month.
We're supposed to protect our country, support our country, support our Constitution, and protect our Constitution. States want to revote. The states got defrauded. They were given false information. They voted on it. Now they want to recertify. They want it back. All Vice President Pence has to do
is engaging in more sex.
To recertify, and we become and you are the happiest people. And I just spoke to Mike. I said, Mike, that doesn't take courage. What takes courage?
What makes the Sphinx the seventh wonder? Courage.
That takes courage. And then we're stuck with a president who lost the election by a lot. You know, they wanted to get rid of the Jefferson Memorial. You'll see some really bad things happen. They'll knock out Lincoln, too, by the way. They've been taking his statue down. But then we signed a little law. They want Rudy Giuliani back in New York. We're gathered together in the heart of our nation's capital for one very, very basic and simple reason.
Television's most exciting hour of Fantastic Prizes, the fabulous 60-minute Price is Right!
To save our democracy. You know, most candidates on election evening, and of course, this thing goes on so long, they still don't have any idea what the votes are. We still have congressional seats under review. They have no idea. They've totally lost control. They've used the pandemic as a way of defrauding the people in a proper election.
Is it behind door number one, or door number two, or door number three?
Number one, I said, that's good, but what about 8 weeks ago? You know, they try and get you to go. They say, sir, in 4 years...
You can be a millionaire and never pay taxes.
You're guaranteed. I said, I'm not interested right now. Do me a favor. Go back 8 weeks. I want to go back 8 weeks. Let's go back 8 weeks.
This is a story about a man who attempts time travel. He proposes the idea to a group of friends at his home, but they dismiss the idea due to a lack of understanding.
Which side are you on, boys? Which side are you on? Which side are you on, boys? Which side are you on? They say in Harlan County there are no neutrals there. You'll either be a Union man or a thug for J.H. Blair. Which side are you on, boys? Which side are you on? Tell me. Until this battle's won, tell me which side are you on? Which side? be a man. Which side are you on? Which side are you on? Tell me which side are you on? Which side are you on? You I'll tell of how the good old Union has come in here to dwell. Tell me which side are you on, boy? Which side are you on? Tell me which side are you on, boy? Which side are you on?
Seeger in there after hearing Donald Trump's beautiful rally speech. Here on the Andy and Amanda Show, we're at 515-605-9888. If you're calling internationally, of course, dial 1 first.
Anyway. So here's what we learned. I'd rather listen to Pete Seeger than Donald Trump any day.
Yeah, yeah.
Number one. That's number one.
What I say is what I say. Person, woman, man, camera, TV.
Asshole.
Yeah.
Asshole.
Yeah. We should put that in there. You bet.
I also find the Lollipop Kids clip rather amusing.
Yes, yes.
Wasn't that good?
So, Bruce, my name is Cornell. How you doing?
Hey, Cornell, are you the same Cornell that was on the Zoom for Andy's birthday?
Yes. What's up, dude?
Hey, man, how you doing? I like you.
How you doing? I'm doing great.
You were
great.
Highlighted at Zoom, man. I love your voice. You got a great radio voice.
Oh, man, truly appreciate that. Andy gave me, he taught me how to talk like this.
I think what you just said is very important.
Yes, yes.
So tell well, about I'm not sure you can take credit for all that, but that's very nice of you to offer it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Truly appreciate you. So tell us
it's
about
it's great to have a good voice for radio. I have a good face for radio myself.
Oh, that's awesome. We'll want to get together.
These people are sick.
Yeah, man. I'm sorry you played so much Trump, but you redeem yourself by playing Pete Seeger, who I was lucky enough to meet when I was 16 years old and to have a friendship that lasted until the end of his life. And he was one of my real heroes and an outspoken champion for what's right and fair and just and kind.
Yes.
And so again, you redeemed yourself playing Which Side Are You On at the end of that man's bullshit.
Yeah, we have to. we've been having a lot of fun. You know, what we've talked about after the election was, because we've been having so much fun with Donald Trump's speeches, is that now what are we going to do? Uh-oh. Better come up with some new material. Somebody better be out there.
There will always be something to talk about, Andy. Definitely.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, I want to hear about Bruce. Tell me about you, Bruce.
Oh, let's see. What can I tell you? Born in a log cabin in Illinois. No, that was Lincoln. I'm a Jewish kid from Long Island. I'm in my mid-60s, and I live in Woodstock, New York. And where if you throw a stone, you will hit a musician, which is how Andy and I met. I threw a stone, and I'm a PR and marketing and communications professional in my work life, and then in the rest of my life, I'm a do-gooder. I'm a relentless do-gooder. I sit on the board of a social service agency here in Woodstock, New York, that's now the largest social service agency in the county here. We manage and maintain and run homeless shelters and domestic violence shelters, two of each of those, and a youth shelter, and feeding programs for kids and the elderly, and drug treatment programs, and programs for those coming out of incarceration and reentering society.
That's
and
great.
And we have we have the longest continually operating 24/7 hotline and text line, crisis hotline, in the United States now in its 51st year. So we have a number, toll-free number. You can call or text with any kind of problem or crisis, and we have trained professionals around the clock, 365 days a year, to help you out and provide you with all the resources that you might need, no matter what it
is. We would love for the people to hear that. What's the number?
It's for Ulster County, New York. So I don't want to give it to people in Australia and the UK. It's not a international number. It's if you're in Ulster County, New York, we got you. If you live somewhere else, there's probably some variant of what we do where you are. We believe folks who need help should get help, and that's
Hey, do you hear that? No, I'm just joking.
Oh man, yeah, that turned quick. So I do that, and I'm also a Red Cross volunteer. I belong to the world's largest humanitarian organization, where 95% of the work gets done by volunteers like me, and I wear a couple of hats there. But we mostly help people when there's been when they're having the worst day of their lives, when they've lost everything in a house fire or apartment fire, or when it's a big weather event like a hurricane or a flood, or God forbid, a mass casualty event, which we're trained for, and we hope we never have to use that training, although it's pretty similar to some of the other kinds of incidents that we respond to. We hope to not have to use it then. And I started my Red Cross career after 9/11. I was at Ground Zero for 4 months, running one of the two Red Cross-run operated respite centers, providing all kinds of logistical support and food and drink and first aid and supplies to people who were involved in the rescue and recovery effort, and then the cleanup, which took quite
That's
a long
so
time.
So wonderful. That's very wonderful.
And I took some years off to raise my daughters, and they're in their 20s now. And so a couple of years ago, I went back to the Red Cross and got all kinds of training and became a disaster action team member and now a supervisor. And I'm on the media affairs or public affairs team. So when I'm on call there and there's a big fire like we've had tonight in Yonkers, New York, I'm the media contact, so radio and TV reach out to us for quotes about what we're doing. We've had a fire tonight where 27 apartments lost everything. And the people in those apartments they've lost everything, and a good number of them, about a dozen of them, are being treated in a hospital for smoke inhalation and or other injuries. And I'm waiting for that to get sorted out now, and when I do hang up on you, I'll be conducting virtual interviews with a number of those victims so that we can provide them with various kinds of assistance. We do provide financial assistance, so they'll all be staying in hotels or motels tonight.
Oh,
those
that is great, man.
Those who don't
and
have family
that
or friends.
And anything we can do for you on the Andy and Amanda show, let us know, please. We love doing it. Right, guys?
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. We're all about the people and, you know, helping out and
here's one thing I can say for your international global audience is that wherever you are, there's a Red Cross. We're in just
Absolutely.
About every nation on earth, and we always need volunteers. Find out where your local Red Cross is. Take some training. You'll meet some of the best people you've ever met, because like me, they all have that gene where they're not happy unless they're helping somebody else out, and it's the best. It's the best non-paying job you'll ever have, and it's the best you'll ever feel doing something for somebody else when they cannot repay you or do anything back for you.
Yeah. That's the best film right there, Bruce. That's the best film.
It's good for everybody. It's as good for me as for the people that I help, and it's worth doing. So there's something for your international audience. If you got some free time every now and then, there's a way to do something for somebody else and make yourself feel pretty damn good in the bargain.
Yes. Incredible. Truly appreciate it. That's great. That's awesome. Very awesome.
Yep.
It's a true inspiration.
Definitely.
This is the Andy Demando Show. Our number here is 515-605-9888. And Bruce, we want to thank you for joining us today, and you're certainly welcome to hang in. We're going to be we have some news to get to, and some audio clips to get to, and some more music to get to, and we're going to try to get to it all. Is anybody by any chance monitoring, because I pretty much have switched hats here, but is anybody monitoring what is going on in the Capitol right now regarding the...
Andy, I checked it out right now. They're having a barbecue in the back. No, I'm just joking.
Okay, moving right along.
Somebody held Mitch McConnell's feet to the fire, evidently. He made a speech that sounded like a Democrat could have made it. He said, "We're going to ratify the election results tonight." He said, "The people who tried to thwart this
Donald Trump
failed.
Is begging. He's begging and crying."
Good. That's how we like him.
Facebook.
If we can't get him to hang upside down at a gas station like his idol Mussolini, then the next best thing is for him to be crying.
Yes.
Facebook
is going too far now.
Facebook's just doing Twitter.
Yeah, unreal. And look, he was so quiet the whole. And we're going to play. As a matter of fact, we have time. We have. I don't know how many of you may have caught or listened to, seen, watched, heard Joe Biden's address today, which was spectacular. We have that here, and we're going to play that for you in case you did miss it. We also have what I think was Mitch McConnell's best speech he ever gave on the Senate floor prior to the chaos breaking out in protest to the objections of the electoral count. And we're going to play that as well. Did you hear that, Bruce, by any chance today? Did you hear Mitch McConnell?
I heard both of them. I was home today, and I heard it all and saw it all.
Yeah.
And I mean, like I said, it's an amazing and historic day on several levels. But we saw Mitch McConnell finally do the right thing. We saw Joe Biden act presidential and act human in a way that we haven't seen a president acting human and presidential in about 4 years now. And and so that was refreshing too. And if you're playing the Biden speech at the end of it, when he stopped, he was walking out. And I asked him one more question. He turned around. And he just said, "Enough is enough is enough." And I thought that was the best thing. That was better than all the rest of the speech because he's human and he was fed up.
Yeah.
I was like, "Enough of this shit." And he's not afraid to show that side of him. And when he shows it, we all don't have to cringe, and we all don't have to feel like embarrassed for our nation that we have a mensch who's about to become president, right? Especially after the dumpster fire, train wreck, shit show that we've had for these last 4 years. Anyway, I have to go do my Red Cross thing, so I'm going to bail on you guys. But thank you for letting me. Speak on your program, and I will call in again.
It's been a pleasure having you, Bruce.
Really appreciate you, and be safe. I'm sorry, Amanda, what you had to say?
No, that's okay, sweetie. I just said that it's been an absolute pleasure having you here, Bruce, and hearing everything you've had to say. Truly respect you and everything that you do, so thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Yes.
Be well, you guys, and
you
too.
I'll talk
you.
With you again. I'm soon.
Thank you, Bruce. Here, we're going to move on with good night now. We're going to... move on. We got some other things and other clips we're going to get to. For those of you who missed it, we're going to play, which is something we've never done before, is a speech given by the Senate Majority Leader, Mitch McConnell. Let's go to that right now, then we'll talk about it.
Mr. President.
Majority Leader.
We're debating a step that has never been taken in American history. whether Congress should overrule the voters and overturn a presidential election. I've served 36 years in the Senate. This will be the most important vote I've ever cast. President Trump claims the election was stolen. The assertions range from specific local allegations to constitutional arguments to sweeping conspiracy theories. I supported the president's right to use the legal system. Dozens of lawsuits received hearings in courtrooms all across our country. But over and over, the courts rejected these claims, including all-star judges whom the president himself has nominated. Every election, we know, features some illegality and irregularity, and of course, that's unacceptable. I support strong state-led voting reforms. Last year's bizarre pandemic procedures must not become the new norm. But my colleagues, nothing before us proves illegality anywhere near the massive scale that would have tipped the entire election. Nor can public doubt alone justify a radical break when the doubt itself was incited without any evidence. The Constitution gives us here in Congress a limited role. We cannot simply declare ourselves a national board of elections on steroids. The voters, the courts, and the states have all spoken. They've all spoken. If we overrule them, it would damage our republic forever. This election actually was not unusually close. Just in recent history, 1976, 2000, and 2004 were all closer than this one. The Electoral Card College margin is almost identical to what it was in 2016. If this election were overturned by mere allegations from the losing side, our democracy would enter a death spiral. We'd never see the whole nation accept an election again. Every 4 years would be a scramble for power at any cost. The Electoral College, which most of us on this side have been defending for years, would cease to exist, leaving many of our states with no real say at all in choosing a president. The effects would go even beyond the elections themselves. Self-government, my colleagues, requires a shared commitment to the truth and a shared respect for the ground rules of our system. We cannot keep drifting apart into two separate tribes with a separate set of facts and separate realities, with nothing in common except our hostility towards each other and mistrust for the few national institutions that we all still share. Every time, in the last 30 years that Democrats have lost a presidential race, they've tried a challenge just like this. After 2000, after 2004, after 2016. After 2004, a senator joined and forced the same debate. And believe it or not, Democrats like Harry Reid, Dick Durbin, and Hillary Clinton praised them and applauded the stunt. Republicans condemned those baseless efforts back then. And we just spent 4 years condemning Democrats' shameful attacks on the validity of President Trump's own election. So look, there can be no double standard. The media that is outraged today spent 4 years aiding and abetting Democrats' attacks on our institutions after they lost. But we must not imitate and escalate what we repudiate. Our duty is to govern for the public good. The United States Senate has a higher calling than an endless spiral of partisan vengeance. Congress will either override the voters, overrule them, the voters, the states, and the courts for the first time ever, or honor the people's decision. We'll either guarantee Democrats' delegitimizing efforts after 2016 become a permanent new routine for both sides, or declare that our nation deserves a lot better than this. We'll either hasten down a poisonous path where only the winners of election actually accept the results, or show we can still muster the patriotic courage that our forebears showed, not only in victory, but in defeat. The framers built the Senate to stop short-term passions from boiling over and melting the foundations of our republic. So I believe protecting our constitutional order requires respecting the limits of our own power. It would be unfair and wrong to disenfranchise American voters and overrule the courts and the states on this extraordinarily thin basis. And I will not pretend such a vote would be a harmless protest gesture while relying on others to do the right thing. I will vote to respect the people's decision and defend our system of government as we know it.
Senator Mitch McConnell speaking earlier today from the Senate floor regarding his thoughts and opinion of the objection being raised by senators and Congress to specific states, as we had talked about on Monday's show, that would happen today during the, I guess you'd call ratification of the Electoral College votes, which were talked about also, how could you not, which were, of course, disrupted today. And there's a curfew in Washington right now. Anybody who was out in Washington, D.C. after 6 o'clock would be arrested. I know there have been several arrests. But anyway, so what do you think? What do you think of Mitch McConnell's speech
of this
talk, guys? Let's put it out there.
My thing is this.
Yeah.
Okay. It's an old saying. The proof is in the pudding. That's all I can say, Andy.
Oh, yeah. 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 Joe Biden, we're waiting for Joe Biden to his Capitol, I guess you want to call his address regarding the Capitol protest or chaos today. He was going to come out and address the economy today. That was his scheduled talk. And also what we might want to note is that Biden unofficially, this will be announced tomorrow, is named, or is going to nominate Merrick Garland to be the district, well, I guess what you call the Attorney General for the next 4 years of the Biden administration. Now, Merrick Garland, for those of you who don't know, was Barack Obama's pick for the Supreme Court with 9 months left of his administration before it would change hands. And it was Mitch McConnell who would not bring that nomination to the Senate before for consideration, with the conversation being, well, Obama only has 9 more months. Why don't we let that decision happen with the next administration, let the people be, you know, made more part of that decision, depending on who they might vote for as to which way the Supreme Court might lean. And of course, we know what happened when Ruth Bader Ginsburg passed away, and Joe Biden, with only a couple months left of his administration, came in and nominated his Supreme Court justice, which, interestingly enough, I think he was thinking that his three picks would help him maintain control of the presidency. Little did he know. I'm sure that was up his sleeve. I'll go to the Supreme Court. They'll give this to me. Anyway, let's take a listen to Biden. As Bruce, our caller, had said earlier, just I'm not going to think about it. It needs no introduction. Here's President-elect Joe Biden.
I'm sorry, not just an inconvenience, but I'm sorry for the reason I've delayed coming out to speak to you. I initially was going to talk about the economy, but all of you have been watching what I've been watching. At this hour, our democracy is under an unprecedented assault, unlike anything we've seen in modern times. An assault on the citadel of liberty, the Capitol itself. An assault on the people's representatives and the Capitol Hill police sworn to protect them, and the public servants who work at the heart of our republic. An assault on the rule of law like few times we've ever seen it. An assault on most sacred of American undertakings, the doing of the people's business. Let me be very clear. The scenes of chaos at the Capitol do not reflect a true America, do not represent who we are. What we're seeing are a small number of extremists dedicated to lawlessness. This is not dissent. It's disorder. It's chaos. It borders on sedition. And it must end now. I call on this mob to pull back and allow the work of democracy to go forward. You've heard me say before in different contexts, the words of a president matter, no matter how good or bad that president is. At their best, the words of a president can inspire. At their worst, they can incite. Therefore, I call on President Trump to go on national television now to fulfill his oath and defend the Constitution and demand an end to this siege, to storm the Capitol, to smash windows, to occupy offices, the floor of the United States Senate, rummaging through desks, on the Capitol, on the House of Representatives, threatening the safety of duly elected officials. It's not protest. It's insurrection. The world's watching. Like so many other Americans, I am genuinely shocked and saddened that our nation, so long the beacon of light and hope for democracy, has come to such a dark moment. Through war and strife, America's endured much.
And we will endure here, and we will prevail again, and we'll prevail now. The work of the moment and the work of the next 4 years must be the restoration of democracy, of decency, honor, respect, the rule of law, just plain, simple decency. The renewal of a politics. It's about solving problems, looking out for one another, not stoking the flames of hate and chaos. As I said, America's about honor, decency, respect, tolerance. That's who we are. That's who we've always been. The certification the Electoral College vote is supposed to be a sacred ritual. The purpose is to affirm the majesty of American democracy. But today's reminder, a painful one, that democracy is fragile, and to preserve it requires people of goodwill, leaders of the courage to stand up, who are devoted not to the pursuit of power, but or the personal interest pursuits of their own selfish interest at any cost, but of the common good. Think what our children watching television is thinking. Think what the rest of the world is looking at. For nearly 2.5 centuries, we the people, in search of a more perfect union, have kept our eyes on that common good. America is so much better than what we've seen today. Watching the scenes from the Capitol, I was reminded, as I prepared other speeches in the past, I was reminded of the words of Abraham Lincoln in his annual message to Congress, whose work has today been interrupted by chaos. Here's what Lincoln said. He said, "We shall nobly save or merely lose the last best hope on earth." Went on to say, "The way is plain, peaceful, generous, just. A way which, if followed, the world will forever applaud and God must forever bless." The way is plain here, too. That's who we are. It's the way of democracy, of respect, of decency, of honor, and commitment as patriots to this nation. Notwithstanding what I saw today and we're seeing today, I remain optimistic about the incredible opportunities. There has never been anything we can't do when we do it together. And this god-awful display today is bringing home to every Republican and Democrat and Independent in the nation that we must step up. This is the United States of America. There's never, ever, 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 ever been a thing we've tried to do that we've done it together. We've not been able to do it. So, President Trump, step up. May God bless America. May God protect our troops and all those folks at the Capitol who are trying to preserve order. Thank you, and I'm sorry to have kept you waiting.
You're an Asian.
Snotty little bastard.
Who are you talking to? Are we back on, buddy? Are we back on? Hello? Anybody here?
Yes, we're here.
Hey.
Hey, Ron. Hey, I got another call. I got a caller here, a special guest on our show, Mr. None Other Than. You know, I still don't have a drum roll sound effect. Oh, wait, I got this one, though. Wait. Hold on a minute. I'll find it. I got something. Give me a minute.
Tick-tock, 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 tick-tock.
None other than Steven DeJosephs, come on down!
Steve!
Hey. Hi, Amanda.
Hi, Steve. How are you doing, sweetheart?
I'm all right.
There you go.
I can't light it up your sleeve.
Hey, you know what I'm saying?
Hey. Like Mr. Rogers meets Lawrence Welk or something, you know? Like,
I have that too, man. Hey, listen, we have Mr. Rogers.
Yeah.
We have Mr. Rogers. We do.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I love
Mr. Rogers. Stood all I can stand, and I can't stand no more.
You know?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good, Cornell. How are you, buddy? Happy New Year
I'm
to you all.
I'm doing great. I'm doing fine. Thank
you. And to you.
Steve, I got a question for you.
Ever put your life in another man's hands?
Well, not if I can help it. Although on occasion, you know, it's a couple times, yeah. But I don't know.
Anyway. Doctor or dentist, yeah.
Yeah, on the chair, man.
Yeah.
On the chair. On a gurney. Well,
Steve, welcome to our show here on the Andy and Amanda Show. Amanda Love is in the UK, as you know. I'm here in Los Angeles, California. And this is our show, so you're on it. You're live on our program. It's great to have you on board.
This is great. You guys are doing a great job, and I'm glad you played the Biden speech, you know, to kind of rally people.
It just shows who he is and hopefully is a depiction of where America will go in terms of who we are as a people, who we are as a country, putting things back in order and moving ahead. Now, what we talked about when we first came on board today's show was also the somewhat, I don't know if you would call it a surprise or not, but overwhelmingly delightful shock that John Ossoff and Warren both won in Georgia, which is going to give the deciding senatorial a vote to Vice President-elect Kamala Harris. And that means that it also means that Mitch McConnell will no longer be able to block Biden's nomination from nominations. And also it means all the committee heads of every committee will be a Democrat. And you know, not that that says, oh, that's great or that's bad, because we try to keep things, you know, neutral here and talk about various aspects of the news and politics and things we talk about from a purely objective but factual basis. But as opposed to what we've been through for the last 4 years, I must say that I think some really, you know, much better times are ahead for this country, especially after
now, you know, that. I mean, in the last 4 years, it seems like facts have been hard to come by.
Yeah, except on this show.
Yes. And that's a fact.
That's,
you know,
fact.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Well, I certainly hope not. You know, you're egging me on with those voices. I love those voices.
It's all
me.
That's
so funny. You know,
yeah, I'll tell you.
I don't give a damn what you think you are entitled to.
Well, unbelievable. The man just gave you a compliment and you put that on.
You know, they should
only
have been
on Andy and Amanda show.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, my God. They should have blasted that out of the Capitol building today when that was all going on. You know, it's like that would have been.
God.
I don't know. It just, I mean, what would we call what happened? Like, what's the word that they use on football field to confuse other players or the opposite team? Scrimmage or scrimmage?
Yeah, that's
scrimmage?
It. That's
listen,
it.
This is the way it is.
That's what he said.
I was going to call it Scrabble.
Donald Trump may be the greatest of all time. Greatest of all time.
Yeah. Yeah, yes. Scribbage yeah, might be a good tactic for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, if he doesn't say it himself, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, Steve, we've been talking about your addition, which is going to complement our show with Steve's music picks, which we're going to actually was scheduled to start Friday, but you sent me a fabulous clip today. The whole segment, actually, not a clip, it's a segment. And I think what we'll do is play it today and Friday to start this week with a double dose of Steve DeJoseph's song picks within the artist. And since we have you live, and we've talked about it, by the way, promoting your music and what you're doing, what you're going to be adding to our show, at least every Friday for now, and hopefully more often than that as we move ahead.
Would
you care? I took a brief listen to the first artist, which is somebody who I know very well back in Philadelphia, Phyllis Chappelle. Way back. We've been with Phyllis for quite a long time. But if you want to, because
I actually like women much more than I like men.
Yes. So.
Well, you know, if I pick two women songwriters, so I guess I could say the same.
Yeah. But we're going to play, maybe we'll just jump right into it, Steve, and play your segment.
Yeah, feel free, man.
Now.
My pleasure.
I think start with this one.
Doggy style for sure.
No, wait, the wrong one, I'm sorry.
Oh, my God.
Hey, Steve, I like your song already.
Hey, Steve's like,
that's a hit.
God bless us, everyone.
Oh, my gosh.
Hey, Steve, that was a hit.
Was it a hit?
Yeah.
Tiny
Here we
hit.
Go, folks. These are Steve's song picks for today's show on our January 6th show, Stephen DeJoseph. So we'll just go ahead and turn it over to Stephen DeJoseph right now.
Good evening. I'm Stephen DeJoseph, right here on the Andy and Amanda Show. Welcome to my segment called Stephen's Song Picks. This is where you will hear best music you've never heard. I'm here to change all that, to bring you hand-picked, top-quality songwriters from all over the U.S. right here on the Andy and Amanda Show. First up, we have from Philadelphia, Miss Phyllis Chappelle. Phyllis is an amazing singer of jazz and world music, a guitarist, a performer. Here she is performing her song, Vulnerability.
There go your eyes. They're turning blue, hazel and green. Reflecting the sun, I look inside them and I see what they might do to me. I got no place to hide and nowhere to run, no, no. It's like being in the middle of an ocean. I'm open up to everything. It's like something took control of my emotions. I think I get it. Vulnerability. Vulnerability. Except the warm touch of your hand. There go the things I've learned. My verb ability. I can't disguise, no, how you make a note out of me and how I wanna be right where your fingers land. You know the until when I couldn't turn the rudder, that my heart stood still. It's the joy of the wild, like being a child again. But I'm feeling a little bit vulnerable these days. But you know, vulnerability can keep our minds and our hearts open to possibilities, which can lead to things like healing and justice and peace and love and joy, which is not such a bad thing, right?
Was Phyllis Chappelle singing her song Vulnerability. You can find Phyllis on Facebook, Phyllis Chappelle, Chappelle spelled C-H-A-P-E-L-L. Up next, a very fascinating songwriter, maybe a bit reminiscent of October Project's Mary Fall. This is Sharon Bosquet singing her song, We All Fall Down.
This is a song about being a human. Romance is lovely until it's not.
That was Sharon Bousquet singing her song, We All Fall Down. You can find Sharon on Facebook, spelling her name Sharon, last name Bousquet. You're listening to Stephen's Song Picks, where we feature the best music you've never heard. Until next week, always look for the silver lining.
All right, that was Stephen Jadota's Song Picks, which is going to be a regular feature on our show Fridays, even though we're doing a little preview today of Steve's Picks. Good music, eh, Amanda?
I really enjoyed that. Steve did an amazing job. Absolutely amazing.
Yeah, really, really. I was quite impressed. Quite impressed. We're going to do a rerun of this clip if you missed it. We're going to play it again on Friday, and then we'll be featuring Steve's Song Picks, his indie artist song picks, every Friday thereafter. So I look forward to that. Joseph, for joining us. We're about to wrap today's show. So much going on. There's more news to talk about, more things we need to dive into and explore. And I think what we'll do is pick it up on Friday's show because we only have another minute or so left today, and I don't want to get into something and go over like we usually do. So I want to thank everybody for tuning in on today's show. What an exciting day today is. I know I want to get back into just going certification of the Electoral College votes and see where we stand. And we'll talk about that Friday. We'll talk about more of that, the chaos. We'll talk about what the ramifications might or might not be regarding Donald Trump and himself being involved in voting this thing. Is there any implications? Is he going to be held accountable for this in any way? We don't know. These are things that we're going to explore here on the Andy and Amanda Show. Our number for future reference is 515-605-9888. I'm sorry, we do have two new callers to get in. I can't get, I'm sorry, guys, we're winding up the show. Please call us on Friday. We'll get to you, I promise. In the meantime, on behalf of Amanda Love, on behalf of Cornell Butler, my name is Andy Kimball. This is the Coast to Coast Show, the Andy and Amanda Show. Amanda, take us home.
Take care, everyone. Be safe. Keep smiling and try to keep your head above all the chaos out there. And yeah.
And yeah. And you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And yeah.
You know what I mean? And, you know, there's not a whole lot more to say, but, you know, other than we'll see you. Take care, folks. See you Friday.
Bye-bye. Take care.